Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from Philippians, verses 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. May you be seated. Well, I didn't have to convince the children that much. So I ask you, do you guys ever complain about anything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't too hard to figure out, right? Might be at home, we complain about the people we live with when they do things over and over and over. We complain about our parents when they tell us to do things. We complain about our older parents when we're parents and they tell us how to be parents. We complain about, oh, the spouse and how they do a pet peeve that gets on our nerves over and over again. Might be at work, we complain about our boss. He doesn't really know what he's doing, and boy, I could be so much better if I were the boss, and we could be saving so much money, and makes you work too many hours, or too little hours, or I don't have time to do what I want to do. Or at school, maybe it's complaining about the homework and the assignments. I just seem to be a waste of time. And there's always government to complain about, right? Complain about, oh, Governor Dayton or President Trump or some new law that they passed and that they're taking away our religious freedoms, and what are we going to do? Now, of course, churches, there's plenty of things to complain about in churches. So why aren't we doing this? Or why are we doing this? And I'm doing too much. Or, ugh. No one really cares about me here, or there's not enough money, not enough people. It's so easy to complain, isn't it? So easy to grumble and complain. But in contrast, Paul writes about joy, thanksgiving. Philippians is often called the letter of joy, the epistle of joy. Paul writes with the word joy or rejoice 16 times in this letter. And he has the word Christ 50 times, just in his four chapters of Philippians. Very short letter, but very powerful, very focused. So you get the sense that, hey, this also being a letter Paul wrote from prison, and not just in the good times, but in all times. As Christians, we have the ability and the privilege to rejoice, to give thanks. And the source of that comes from Christ. As he also hammers that home, right? Over 50 times in the letter. Let's look a little bit about what he means here in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. So what's he really getting at? Of course, there's always times when we need to vent what's going on and what bothers us and things like that. But grumbling and questioning really means here in Philippians, it's when God tells us to do something and we grumble. And we say, oh, do I really have to, God? I really want to do it my way. God, do you really know what you're talking about? See how I'm also questioning. You know what the first question was that was posed to Adam and Eve by the devil? Did God really say, you shall not eat from the fruit of the tree? What was the devil doing? Questioning. Is it good to question? Yes. Is it good to question when God gives you a clear word? No. It brings doubt, and it brings disputes, and it brings lack of fruits in our lives. And we have a long history of grumbling, don't we, of our ancestors, the Israelites, who would grumble about everything. Even as Ezekiel writes to them. And what were they grumbling about? They were grumbling about that God wasn't just. That they were being treated unfairly by God. That they deserved more than Him. That they should be punished because they'd been so faithful with being even more wicked than the nations around them that were unbelievers. All throughout the desert wanderings, they would grumble and grumble against Moses and against God. Why have you brought us out here to die? We were better in Egypt when we were slaves. There was a grumbling in Philippi. So Paul writes to them. If there's any comfort, any encouragement, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, the same love, in full accord in one mind. See how we get over grumbling? How we get over division in our church body? It's in having the same mind. When you're a parent and you're trying to tell your kids what to do and they don't want to do it, is there a sane mind? There's not a sane mind. There is the mind that I know what's right, and then the mind that you do not know what's right. Right? And it creates grumbling and complaining. And this is what it is like in our spiritual lives as Christians. And how it can create problems in our churches is that Christ says what is right, but instead of having His mind, we try to figure it out in our own mind. So how do you get over that? You unite and you have things in common. And as the church, we unite under the mind of Christ. As it says in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is our mind. This is our love. This is our unity. This Christ, who though He was above all, and equal with God in the nature of God, made Himself nothing, emptied all of it, became a servant, humbling Himself even in obedience to death on a cross for our sins, for sinners who so often wanted to be our own authority and complain and grumble. Even up to the point of His death, people were still grumbling and complaining. If you are the Son, save yourself. You saved others, but you can't save yourself. You're a fraud, you're a phony. And yet, still joyful obedience from Christ. When every reason to retaliate, every reason to say enough of it. Every reason to say to the Father, this is silly. There must be a better way. But why did Jesus stay joyfully obedient? Because He realized it wasn't really about Him. He was doing it for us. He put our lives first in front of His own. And that is what we do as Christians. We put the brother and the sister in front of our own life, considering others as more significant than ourselves. Others' interests is more important than our own. Humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves and being able to admit that, hey, what I think is right isn't right. Or what I've been doing may not be right. Or even though I don't like you, what you're saying might be right. Because it's not about me. I'm a person in the church of God. And that means my life is found when I'm in line with the line of Christ. I'm here to reflect Him. He's the one who already gives me all my identity and meaning and security. And so this is what my life is all about, to follow Him. Authority has to do with often how you view those in authority, right? If you don't think your parents are very smart or loving, then you won't listen to them. If you don't think your coaches are good, you won't listen to them. If you don't think your teachers are wise, you won't listen. It's directly related to how we view that person in authority, isn't it? You see, why we rebel as Christians, besides the fact that we're sinners, isn't just because of that, but because when we start to look at God in the wrong way, don't we? We start to look at God and we start to see Him in a different light than the God, the Christ described so wonderfully in these verses. We start to see Him as someone who doesn't love us and someone who doesn't care about us. There's someone who doesn't know what he's doing because he's bringing suffering into our lives. And we rebel and want to put ourselves in charge. The reality is we're in a crooked and twisted generation, as it says. The authority of Christ, as it was under attack with the Pharisees and religious leaders in our gospel reading, by whose authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? Who gave you this right? What makes you think that your religion is better than all the other ones? Who are you to say that Jesus is Lord? Give me a break. I know a lot of people who claim to be God or the Messiah or have the right answers. Who are you to say that? Can we all just believe in our own way? Stop offending people. And we're feeded constantly from the internet and movies and TV and our newspaper. The message is, you are the Lord of your life. And it's about you. If someone hurts you, you need to get even. It's a crooked and a twisted generation that's backwards in the way God designed it, isn't it? The reality is we were made to be under, weren't we? We were made in the Garden of Eden to be under the authority of God. And it used to be a joyful thing and a willing thing. But since sin entered into the world, that's where we got this idea in our hearts and our minds that somehow that wasn't really what we needed. What we needed was someone else or our own selves to be the ones in charge. But you see it through these words of the gospel that remind us who Jesus is. It renews that original image that we were created in. That original likeness of God that was in Adam and Eve is now made new and renewed to us with a new heart and a new spirit through the waters of baptism. By believing the words of the gospel, Yes, Jesus is Lord, as everybody will confess one day when Jesus returns. Every knee will bow, some will not want to. Some will, up to that day, say Jesus is not Lord, but then when he appears, they will bow the knee. What does it mean to bow the knee? You are Lord, I am under you. I want to be under you. I deserve, you deserve me to be here. Everything will be clear on that day. We'll be able to see it. But for those people who wait until that day, it'll be too late. Will it not? The way of the human authority, of ourselves and authority, making up our own system of governance in our lives, it leads to death. In Ezekiel, as it says, right? There's a comparison between the way of the Lord and the way of the house of Israel. The way of the Lord is just and righteous, leads to life. The way of Israel is unjust, wicked, leads to death, leads to ruin. Why would anybody choose that? Yet that is our condition. The only remedy we have is to look upon again the face of Jesus and the work of Jesus. And this God who we think doesn't know or isn't in charge, but one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess, He is Lord. That's the reality. Lord, that thinks that we think doesn't love us, well, He gave it all for us. Everything. Even this horrible death on a cross. And that's what changes us. When we look upon Jesus, we're willing to let go of this foolish idea of wanting to be in charge and thinking it's about us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where true freedom is found. It's not found in I get to do it what I want. It's found in I want to do what you want. Not why are you doing this to me, God? Why do I have to do this? But what do you want me to do, my Lord and Savior? That's a joy that can't be taken away. It's a joy connected to Christ, coming from that we belong to Him, and my purpose is to be in Him and to follow Him. So whatever is happening around me doesn't really matter. Because my joy is coming straight from Christ. What He tells me, what He wants from me. That's why Paul would even say, even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, in other words, even if I'm pouring out my very life for your sake, I'm glad and rejoice. I rejoice. Because I'm following Jesus. Because my life is in Jesus. Got to go to the grand opening of the American Ninja Warrior site here in Rochester in the training grounds. Right? Did you know this? They just opened an American Ninja Warrior training site here in Rochester. So before about maybe doing this, and I don't really know a lot about how to do the course, right? Thankfully, there's one of the American Ninja competitors here from Rochester, Andrew Riori, right? He was there giving advice, giving some tips. You know, I was very glad and willing to listen to whatever he had to say.
Right.
Especially when you're going up this 15-foot wall, or could fall and hurt yourself. Want to listen to what he has to say, because he's been there and he's done it. And he's an expert at it, right? I didn't say, why are you saying that? No, I need to do it this way. Or, what? What? Why are you so foolish, dude? What? Or, you don't really care about me, do you? You're just trying to get me injured, right? I know what you're on. I know your game. Right? I didn't say that. I said, thank you. Thank you for giving me help, because I probably would have killed myself if I tried to do this stuff on my own. My ways would not be good. That's the way it is with God. When we see Him, and when we know Him for who He is, we see there's no need to complain. There's no need to grumble. There's no need to question if His word is really true. We know He loves us, and we know His way is always the best way. It's the joyful way. And it's in His name that we gladly obey and joyfully follow. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.